Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the life and legacy of Frank Wycheck passing away at the age of 52. We've discussed his life, his career all show long to this point. We welcome your thoughts on that throughout the show. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll also look ahead to the Titans and the Dolphins coming up tonight on Monday Night Football with Corey Curtis as well. Joe, in the weekend that was in the NFL, some interesting games, including a thriller between the Vikings and the Raiders that was 0-0 forever, that Minnesota ends up winning 3-0. Just a masterpiece, and I'm sure everybody enjoyed watching. You had the Bills and Chiefs game yesterday, as you mentioned. Buffalo wins 20-17. They improved to 7-6. So that's a huge win for Buffalo. Some controversy after the game with the play that you mentioned. Kadarius Toney lines up offsides, gets flagged for offensive offsides. On that play, Mahomes throws it to Kelsey. He runs around and then laterals it back to Toney for a touchdown with, I believe, like a minute and 12 remaining in the fourth quarter or something like that to give Kansas City the lead. And then the play is called back due to the flag. Patrick Mahomes, very upset about that play, acting like a child on the sidelines and then continuing to complain to Josh Allen as they met in midfield rather than just shaking his hand and walking off the field last night, which was interesting. What did you make of the end of the game between Kansas City and Buffalo?
Yeah, Mahomes didn't handle it great. It's really too bad that something like that would take that play off the board. But I'm looking, like, Jonathan Jones, who covers the NFL for CBS, has a picture, you know, like the aerial picture. And, I mean, Toney is just like, I mean, he's lined up way past the line.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be mad at somebody, if you're Patrick Mahomes, why don't you be mad at Kadarius Toney, who apparently can't line up properly?
Yeah. Now, I will say, I can't recall, and I'm sure it's happened, but I just can't recall Andy Reid complaining about officials or like, and he was going off about how it's embarrassing for the NFL. So, according to him, there should have been some kind of communication. Now, and I don't know. Like, it's an, I think Toney said that he asked, right? So that's because obviously you see all the time you watch an NFL game, watch the receivers are constantly, you know, they're looking over to the officials to make sure they're good, you know, for, so something like this, you know, you have enough on the line and all that stuff. So, I mean, I guess if he did that and there was no communication or whatever, then that's obviously bad on the officials. They put out a big statement that they, you know, try to explain it. This is a point of emphasis. I was called last night, so I think now that makes 12 this year.
Yeah.
Three all of last year, it's a point of emphasis. I mean, look, it's, I mean, it is pretty simple. Like, don't line up offsides. So it's like, when it comes down to it, it's another case of Kadarius Toney. Oh,
that's the thing.
Making some killer mistake like you just can't make.
If Kadarius Toney catches like one of about 7 footballs that he dropped against the Detroit Lions in week 1 and he keeps himself on sides in this game, Kansas City's 10-3. I mean, it's as simple as that. And look, I hate that this is making me like take the side of Gene Steratore and officials like that, because I always complain about those guys, but he put this out last night and I completely agree. He says, when officiating the line of scrimmage, general philosophy is to not be overly technical and split hairs on very minor infractions, such as receiver's hand slightly breaking line of scrimmage. However, when an infraction is so egregious and obvious, a flag has to be thrown. Kadarius Toney is blatantly lined up offside and in the neutral zone. You rarely see an offsides penalty on the offense, but that's not because this play in Buffalo, Kansas City isn't a foul. It's because a receiver rarely lines up offsides. This is from Gene Steratore that he put out last night.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, like, you do this how many times, you know, every Sunday, not to mention practice, your entire life. Like, if you're Kadarius Toney, how could you stand there where he stood? Like, how could you not at any point look and see where everybody else is lined up and line up correctly? Then all of this goes away. So it's just bizarre and just a weird, I mean, just for both of those teams. I mean, Buffalo is now alive, but still, you know, kind of way back, you know, still not at all locked to get in. The Chiefs have the Broncos actually nipping at their heels. Like, we thought going into the 2022 season might actually happen, and here we finally are, where the Broncos are actually contender to win that division. But, you know, a crazy week for Sean McDermott, too, with the Tyler Dunn story about the story he told, you know, about the terrorists of 9/11, and that, like, as an example of teamwork. Yeah. And then people, I mean, it's pretty wild.
What a league.
Around both those franchises. Yeah, exactly.
And then there's how about those Cowboys last night? 33-13. They take down Philadelphia at home. Dak Prescott, 271, two touchdowns. Philadelphia has been steamrolled 2 weeks in a row, first by San Francisco at home and then by Dallas on the road. What'd you think of that one last night on Sunday Night Football with the Cowboys and the Eagles?
Well, I think the Eagles are the third best team in the NFC at this point. Their defense is just I don't know why, but it's just not very good. I mean, I guess when you have, like, when Zach Cunningham's a key player for your defense, and by the way, it's not like he's playing terrible, but I mean, I kind of tell you, they got some issues on that side of the ball. And Jalen Hurts, you know, I will say that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith did not help him enough last night, you know, on a couple perfect passes he threw that they've got to catch. But Dallas absolutely looks great. The only problem is with Dallas, like, I've seen them play the Niners, right? I've seen them play the Niners. I know it was in San Fran. It was a few weeks ago. But I think Dak Prescott is a legit MVP candidate. I mean, I think that's fair. It still kind of, to me, speaks to, like, a kind of an underwhelming year. I'd like to see Lamar Jackson possibly get a look there, you know, as things progress, if they get the one seed. But I think the Cowboys are the second best team in the NFC, and I still think the Niners are absolutely the best team.
Jake Browning, MVP. What a day for the AFC South yesterday. Colts lose 34-14 to Cincinnati. Jaguars lose 31-27 to the Joe Flacco-led Cleveland Browns. And the Texans get thumped by Zach Wilson and the Jets 30-6. A banner day for the AFC South yesterday.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to overreact. But before he got hurt and left the game, which might jeopardize C.J. Stroud playing in Nissan Stadium Sunday, by the way, he wasn't quite at 100 yards. He was having an atrocious day.
Yes.
So, you know, C.J. Stroud, who everybody's giving the gold jacket ready for. Now, I'm not going to overreact and say he stinks, but, you know, let's all just wait and see how all that plays out with the quarterbacks. In the meantime, terrible day for the AFC South. And look at that. So the six through 11, that's six teams, all 7-6, Steelers, Colts, Texans, Broncos, Bengals, Bills.
Yeah.
Six teams.
It's wild.
And if you want to include the Jags, Browns, and Chiefs, who are all 8-5, that's nine teams within a game of each other in this conference.
It's what the NFL loves.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it's going to be a wild. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans have moved up to number 6 in the draft slot.
They have. No question about that. How about that? Got a chance tonight, if you lose to Miami, could really do some things here. I mean, the Bears win against the Lions, so shout out to you for getting after us about that yesterday. Very disappointed in your Detroit Lions.
Yeah, they're bad. I don't know if you saw this play, but it's 4th and 3rd. It should have been called grounding on Justin Fields, but it wasn't. Yes. So it's 4th and 13. And all they're doing is trying to draw the Lions off. I mean, they're not going. And then Aiden Hutchinson jumps on 4th and 13. So they get a free play. So it's like, all right, yeah, let's throw easy TD pass to DJ Moore here. Why not? I mean, just absolute classic Lions football.
Do you think it's a stretch to say that C.J. Stroud could be sitting this one out so Davis Mills has the opportunity to play in front of us one more time?
I think you've extended yourself there quite well in that thought. How exciting that'll be. Oh, goody.
I'm looking forward to it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans and Dolphins coming up on Monday Night Football tonight. We'll look ahead to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got some tickets to give away before you can buy them to see Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, July 20th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, July 20th. 615-737-1025. The Titans and Dolphins coming up tonight on Monday Night Football. A nice Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight. Titans and Dolphins on ESPN. Packers-Giants on ABC. I guess the NFL felt if they were going to put the Titans on Monday Night Football, they needed to have two games associated with it. Interesting tonight from the National Football League. But I guess I'm glad they did. Multiple viewing options.
I guess, going into the year, this looked like the potential for two good games because the Titans and Giants were both supposed to be good this year. But they're not.
They are not. No question about that. So the matchup is here. We've talked about it all week, Joe, kind of leading up to this game. I mean, on paper, this has the potential to look rough for the Titans out there tonight. Now, having said that, it's been kind of a weird weekend in the NFL with some of the matchups that we've seen and some of the scores that we've seen. So if you're the Titans, I mean, it is the National Football League. It's not like they're playing – it's Chattanooga taking on Alabama tonight out there if you're the Titans. But what do you make of this matchup, and how, if you're the Titans, do you try to slow down somebody that really hasn't been stopped all year long in Tyreek Hill, who is on pace to have 2,000 receiving yards, which would be the first player in the history of the league to accomplish that?
Yeah, well, Mike Vrabel has had a defensive plan, and this was Dean Pease. But even they still had Tyreek Hill, right, in 19 or not 19, 21, right? Yeah, yep. 21 when they did a great job. They've done a great job against him when he was with the Chiefs before with, I wouldn't say, a bunch of Pro Bowlers, you know, in the secondary, certainly a cornerback. So, I mean, there's some things that you can do if you want to try to take away Tyreek Hill, but then the problem is that they also have Jalen Waddle and they have those two backs and they just do so many creative things. They have weapons everywhere, so it'll be interesting to see how they approach it. To me, the general answer on any of it is your edge people. It better be unbelievable, you know. I mean, like, if Arden Key has another reappearance, like Punxsutawney Phil, this would be a good time for that. There's no Jeffrey Simmons to cave in an offensive line in the interior, but, you know, Denico Autry, Landry. I mean, if those guys don't have huge nights and get all over Tua regularly, then, you know, it's going to be tough. And anybody who watches the Dolphins knows that Tua gets the ball out really fast. I mean, and this is like a criticism of him, which I find hilarious. But, you know, they do have a lot of big plays, chunk plays off ball out quick. And you get a little space and you got a really fast, talented guy with the ball. And he has a lot of yards after the catch. But Tua also, of course, can place the ball on deep shots as well as anyone. So it's a huge challenge. I mean, probably goes back to the offense having 11-minute drives.
Well, like you said, Jeffrey Simmons out of this game. Josh Wiley designated as out with a knee injury. Christian Fulton not playing with a hamstring injury in this game. So a little bit, especially when you're talking about Fulton and Simmons, those are two important guys on the defensive side of the ball that you're not going to have in this matchup. We have a called shot from Adam Vingan. Are you ready for this one? Adam Vingan says, called shot, This will be the second worst loss in Titans history, behind the 59-0 loss to the Patriots in 2009. What do you think of that one?
Ooh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I can see how he got there, and I can get there. the conditions are there for something like that. Now, I also see, we got somebody on the text line, Wes and Clarkson are like, Titans are going to win for Frank and the tornado victims. And maybe. I've seen people talking yesterday, apart from that, about, you know, this totally sets up this weird weekend. And even like Titans fans kind of getting excited about the draft, like the Bears won, the Jets won, you know. Now see the Titans go out and just randomly beat the Dolphins.
Right.
I think the truth will probably be somewhere in between those two things.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they look tonight and if they can approach, yes, like trying to stop Miami's offense. But look, Miami's offense is so good that they're going to put up points and they're going to put up yards. I think I'm more intrigued by like the Titans offense in this game, because Miami, on like you look at their defense and they can get after the quarterback, which is not good news for this team with the offensive line the Titans have. They got Jalen Ramsey, you know, in their secondary. So you would think that this could be, you know, a shutdown defense. They really haven't been this year. I mean, look, Jalen Ramsey, ever since he's come back in there, he's made a huge difference for their team. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. But can the Titans move the ball against this Miami defense? And, like, how good are the Dolphins really? Because not that the Titans are going to be some huge litmus test for them, at least I don't think so. But we did go through their schedule last week. They've beaten one team that has an above 500 record right now, and that's Denver. You know, Denver gets above 500 yesterday with their win against the Chargers. That's the only win that the Dolphins have this year against a team that's above 500. So I still don't know if we know exactly how good they are yet.
Yeah, and that's a win against a team that's above 500. That was a completely different team when they treated them like an FCS school.
Correct.
You know, so, but that's the thing. The Dolphins seem to be, when the Dolphins have a chance to absolutely load up on someone bad, they do.
Yes.
You know, which speaks to Vingan's prediction there. So yeah, it's, to me, it's like, they're going to have chunk plays, but can you tackle someone at the 14 and then force a field goal? Can you do that a few times? They're going to have big plays at your expense. They're going to, between the 20s, they're going to move, I'd say with ease. But can you get those red zone stops? And yeah, I think the Titans offense can have, and this is the excitement of this game is probably the same as any game now. It starts with, you know, what can Will Levis do? Can they help him enough? And then can he step up on a big stage and make plays? I mean, I thought that Thursday night game at Pittsburgh against a really good defense with his team unable to block, I thought for the most part that was a really impressive performance by him, and they need that and then some tonight.
I got a texture that said this would be the Vrabelist of all Vrabel specials if they can pull this off tonight. The Vrabelist of all Vrabel specials.
Except past Vrabel specials have led to things.
There is that.
I mean, that's the problem, you know. Like, this Vrabel special, if it were to happen, you know, just sort of hurts your draft position. Now, I know there are people who say, well, if the Titans win, they're 5-8, and they're only, you know, they're a couple games behind the Colts and Texans, and three behind the Jags, and the Jags come in here in the finale. Just get ready. I'm not going to introduce – I just introduced it, but I'm just introducing it that other people are going to say it. But, yeah, I'm not saying there's hope at all. But I'm saying some people will say that. But to the point of the Vrabel special, it's like the Vrabel special should be a big win for your season. And like that doesn't exist anymore for the Titans.
It's been a while since we've seen one of those. Been a while since That's we've true. Seen a Vrabel
yeah,
special.
Yeah, just to see it. Yeah, just to see it would probably be encouraging for Titans fans. I get that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the Dolphins, the matchup on Monday Night Football tonight. The Heisman Trophy awarded over the weekend as well. We'll get Joe's thoughts on Jaden Daniels taking the trophy home from LSU. That's coming up next. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick the Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. You can see your Preds star players up close and personal, get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Cole Smith and Tommy Novak. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the life and legacy of Frank Wycheck with him passing away over the weekend at the age of 52. Got more of your texts coming in on Wycheck and your favorite memories of him. Keep those coming. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, the Heisman Trophy awarded over the weekend. Jaden Daniels takes it home. I believe he had 503 first-place votes. And you have a Heisman vote along with half the population of the United States. So 503 first-place votes for Jaden Daniels. Did you like the voting, the way that things went down? Was Jaden Daniels your Heisman winner on your ballot? Take us through your thought process of Jaden Daniels taking home the Heisman Trophy. How much were you influenced by Caroline Fenton?
Yeah, well, she made very good points. You know, I mean, Jaden Daniels, even now you can compare, like, all sorts of relevant stats of quarterbacks to all the other Heisman winners, and he's first in a lot of those categories. Yeah, Jaden Daniels was first on my ballot. Michael Penix second, Bo Nix third. A very boring ballot. And I like to sometimes, with the third, you know, if there's like a clear top two or whatever, like, you know, maybe do a non-quarterback. I mean, look, I love voting for non-quarterbacks whenever possible. Devontae Smith was on my ballot first. As I've said before, I think my first year I voted for the Heisman was 2003. I voted for Larry Fitzgerald. Jason White of Oklahoma won the Heisman.
Correct.
And at that point, you know, it was the air raid, and Jason White was just a guy who was not going to be an NFL quarterback, but he had big numbers, and they dominated, and it was ridiculous. And then in 2009, Ndamukong Suh was first on my ballot, and that – like, I really, really wish Twitter – I mean, I guess it existed, but I was not on Twitter then in 2009. I was so outraged. I mean, I think I blogged about it. I was so outraged in 2009 that people didn't see that this was the best player in college football. Ndamukong Suh for Nebraska. Absolutely dominant. Like, the best player, period, in college football. And I don't know, he finished fifth because he's a defensive player. And like Mark Ingram won it for having like a 1500 yard season with a loaded Alabama team. Like, just ridiculous. This year, I do absolutely believe in the idea of contributing to greatness, to team greatness. So I know some people are like, oh, great, best player in the best team, win the Heisman. And it's not that, and it shouldn't be that, but I do care if you have special moments in huge games and you like win a league championship or you have an undefeated team or whatever. I mean, that matters to me. And that's why it was close, because Michael Penix checked those boxes. But when it comes down to it, this is a vote for the best player in college football. And I know LSU lost three games. And so there's, you know, Penix people out there screaming about how, oh, great, a three-loss team. And he didn't have a memorable game after October and all this stuff. And in the huge game he did play, he didn't play that great, and they lost to Florida State. But he was the best player in college football. And I think it's one of those things, like, if you watched him enough this year, and that's a regional thing. I mean, Heisman voting does get regional. I think that was pretty clear.
Where do you think he's going to get drafted? That's really interesting to me, like the Jaden Daniels draft part of this. Because we've talked about Caleb Williams – and Drake May all year long, obviously. You know, there's Penix that's involved in this. Bo Nix is coming out in the draft. Where do you think Jaden Daniels is going to get drafted?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
And I'm seeing some high projections for Jaden Daniels. And I've seen some draft people say, like, he has demonstrated here in the last couple of years just the ability to make all the throws that you had not seen at Arizona State. I mean, Arizona State, he was, you know, he was an exciting player, but he was a running quarterback, and it was like, I mean, I didn't think that much of LSU getting him. I thought eventually someone would overtake him. So he's just improved. He's improved a ton. That's what you're supposed to do. And so I think he's a first-round pick. But I'm going to be really interested once we get into the draft process. I mean, it's like, look, at this time a year ago, I think we had this discussion. I think we both were like, Anthony Richardson needs to come back for a year. He's not ready, yep. Right? I mean, and also, like, Will Levis, boy, that's rough. That's a rough – I mean, it's just so hard to know. And then once we got in the draft process, you know, people I work with, Brugler and Baumgartner, those guys are like, going through the film on Richardson, man, he's a high pick right now. He you know, doesn't mean he's ready. I mean, look at some of the guys in the NFL. Jake Browning, you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got like the greatest numbers ever for the first three starts of a quarterback in NFL history. Your guy, Jordan Love, we're going to see tonight. He was bad. What was that game he played against the Chiefs? Was that 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
That was 2 years ago.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's not a pro. Which, by the way, if you want to talk about all this stuff, when you get into, like, Malik Willis, I mean, I'm just saying, like, people can improve. I don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying people can improve. And even in college, look at Joe Burrow, speaking of LSU, the year before he won the Heisman, he was good. And it was like, oh, that's a nice pickup for LSU, you know? Maybe he could have played at Ohio State. And then the next year, we know what happened. One of the greatest teams and one of the greatest seasons for an individual and team. So, all of which is to say, Jaden Daniels has gotten so much better. And, yeah, I think he's a first-round pick. And he is, you know, look, like when you are as good as he is at just seeing things and escaping, and he's going to be a real problem for defenses in the NFL.
I agree. I think he's really good. And I think if you're – and the other part of this is too, Joe, like if you're the Titans and you get through the end of this season and you're convinced that Will Levis is your guy, which I think is probably going to be the route they take here, having all these quarterbacks kind of floating around and being available and potentially being, you know, high first-round picks, that's really good news for the Titans. Because either, number one, you love a quarterback yes. so much that you take him, or number two – you can trade out and get some more picks, which they desperately need with this roster. So all these quarterbacks and the strength of this class, I think that's good news for the Tennessee Titans as they head into the draft. We always find a way to bring it back to the draft, and I'm becoming more and more responsible for it. I'm just saying, it's good news for the Titans that all these quarterbacks are floating around like first-round grades.
No, it absolutely is. I mean, I think we were talking about this with PK, right? Like, you, if you load it up at the top and everybody, and who, you know, who all is drafting quarterbacks this year? I mean, I guess it's starting to look more like the Bears won't be. Are the Bears, they're going to rip off some wins and stick with Justin Fields and just try to continue to build around him? Maybe.
Maybe.
I think a few weeks ago it was a lock that they were going to draft a quarterback. But no, I mean, I think that you absolutely – most years that's what happens. I mean, a couple of years ago you had the crazy year with just a terrible quarterback draft. But most years that's what happens is you have some quarterbacks that, you know, that kind of rise. And I think that J.J. McCarthy is another one. By the way, speaking of the Heisman, somebody gave J.J. McCarthy a first-place vote in the Heisman race.
Yeah.
And someone gave Blake Corum that too. And this is, and I promise you that neither of those people will admit their ballots. Like, yep. That's kind of the thing now. Like, in fact, I guess I didn't even tweet out my ballot. I just put it on The Athletic on our live blog, but whatever. Like, people reveal their ballots. No one will do that there. And that's where you're like, your Heisman voting. If you just have slappies of a team who are voting for the Heisman, then like the slappies for the teams that are voting need to stop. Like, that needs to be a vote that gets taken away.
Well, it's like the people at SEC Media Days in the preseason poll, that there's like eight of them that voted for Vanderbilt to win the conference. It's like interesting. Interesting voting going on there.
But see, that to me is people clowning the process. Like, that's just like, yeah, like, that's not actually, there aren't eight people who cover Vanderbilt. You know what I mean?
Right.
so that's not like, I really love Vanderbilt. That's just like, let's just clown this whole process and put Vanderbilt for. But J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum, to me, I promise you, is like slappy Wolverines fans with press credentials who are voting for J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum. But J.J. McCarthy is a guy who, like, Brugler's mock draft does not have a huge run on quarterbacks, but he does have Jaden going seventh to the Bucks. But there's other guys that could move up, you know, like guys like J.J. McCarthy, like Michael Penix. Right now, he's got those guys down a little bit, but that's what happens in this draft. They end up moving up, and then teams want to move up to get them.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dylan. Dylan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Real quick, I just wanted to shout out to Frank Wycheck, and I thought it was really cool that last night to watch the Chiefs. I don't know if Andy Reid dialed this up or not as an homage to Frank Wycheck, but seeing that toss back to Kadarius Toney, and just like the force, you know, everything balances itself. That call was reversed, but our call was kept in. So shout out to Frank Wycheck, man.
Yep, thanks for the call, Dylan. Appreciate it. I mean, we kind of talked about that earlier, like the Kelce play to Kadarius Toney. I don't know that it was drawn up. Like, it, from the way Mahomes talks about it, it just kind of sounds like it was Kelce looking back and making a play there. But, you know, it was obviously a heads-up play by him. Unfortunately for Travis Kelce and the Chiefs, Kadarius Toney was playing defensive end on that play, and it didn't count. He's lined up in the secondary of the Bills' defense.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it, the Jonathan egregious. Jones tweet is like of the aerial view. It's like, dude, how did you never look?
Yeah.
Like, your entire body's past the ball. It's just... I mean, so what are these guys supposed to do? And I do, like, even with the, like, it's like the play clock, right? Like, a lot of times you'll see if they get the snap off within like a second or so, it's fine, which I think is fine. And like Steratore said, you know, your hands over whatever, like a little, but this was just like, what are you doing?
It's egregious.
I'm very interested. Like, obviously there's emotion right after a game. Mahomes lost his emotion. And even Andy Reid is popping off.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see, after they've looked at everything, what they will be saying this week about that. I bet you they'll be walking it back a little bit.
I did think about this, though. You know, after the missed pass interference against the Chiefs in the Packers game, and then this yesterday, they're going to get every call the rest of the year down the stretch. I mean, they're going to get calls left and right, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let me tell you something. The Eagles should have won the Super Bowl, the ridiculous holding call that won the Chiefs the Super Bowl. So they've had plenty of breaks. You know, now you go back to the Brady roughing when they should have been in that Super Bowl. Well, they were owed a few from that one, but I think they're fine.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Who is gonna crush?
The gods!
Who is gonna kill?
The gods!
Who is gonna kiss?
The gods!
Got you.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rexrode's rant of the day. Joseph, the floor is yours, so I turn things over to you.
Okay, well, back to Frank Wycheck and you know, the tragedy of his life after football, in terms of, you know, the way that he was bothered and the way that he was driven to, you know, to try to help science and pledging his brain. If anybody doesn't follow Chris Nowinski, at Chris Nowinski 1. He's the CEO of Concussion Legacy Foundation. He is also a former WWE wrestler. But his life basically has become, and he played football, I think, at Harvard. You know, his life has become brain injury, CTE, and he is, I'd say, the most outspoken advocate for these things. And I remember when this happened, but he was tweeting about this yesterday when Frank Wycheck passed away at age 52. I'll read some of what Chris wrote. He said, quote, "I'm heartbroken. He was in the first group of athletes to publicly pledge to donate their brain in 2008. We owe him a great debt. We talked about getting treatment, staying hopeful. He had chronic post-concussion symptoms, but he fought." And Chris said, like, "I literally cold called Wycheck. He was so generous. He helped start a trend of brain donation and has made football safer for those who followed him. He will be missed." So it's not just that Frank Wycheck pledged that. And again, that's 2008, folks.
Yeah.
So you're going back to kind of the early days of sort of this awakening and realization of what these guys are doing to their brains. Some of them are doing to their brains. And, you know, that's going back. So it wasn't just that Frank did it and his family reiterated that yesterday, but it's the fact that he was early in that process. And of course, 2008, you know, he was able to do a lot of years at that point of radio, of talk radio, of Titans radio before it really started getting bad for him about 10 years later. So another thing that Chris Nowinski tweeted yesterday, he tweeted the NFL.com obituary of Frank Wycheck. And let me just read Chris's tweet. Quote, "It says a lot that the only thing the NFL.com article cut out of the wire report of Frank Wycheck's tragic death is the fact that his family wants to support CTE and brain injury research per Frank's wishes," end quote. Like, think about that. You know, the NFL, someone at NFL.com said, let's take that out.
Right.
Let's take that out. Let's protect the freaking business. And it speaks to stuff that Gary Bettman has said, which pisses me off too. And it's just when we get to the point where we're more about protecting the brand, protecting the business, protecting the profits over human beings, this is the crap that we all have to. We have to be vocal about and speak out against, because, you know, it's okay to love football. We all love football and want every bit of information about this and find out what is going on. I mean, a few years ago, it was a full-on hysteria in trying to protect football because people were worried about football going away. And I get it. We all love football. But again, let's talk specifically about what some of these people, what is happening to their brains. You want to talk about Dave Duerson. You want to talk about Mike Webster. And if you're trying to be a denier of this, you're trying to whitewash this, to protect the sport, the business, it's absolutely disgusting. And the fact that yesterday the NFL itself decided to take that out of the story is so telling and so disgusting. And it's just, these things cannot just be left unsaid.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I did not see that yesterday. So the fact that they left everything else in there and that's what they decided to take out, I think, to your point, is absolutely telling, and it's ridiculous. And look, I understand that the NFL is trying to protect itself, and you know, anytime that people start talking about concussions and CTE, they get nervous over there. I get all that, but there's also like some decency that you need to have in situations like this too. Like, just optically look at what you're doing here. And now you've got a person who passed away over the weekend who's been dealing with this stuff, and that's what you decide to take out of the wire story. Like, it's ridiculous. And look, to your point, you know, dating back to 2008 there and what you just referenced, you know, that's before this conversation really was a thing in the NFL. Like, it was in the early stages of CTE and concussions really being a conversation in the NFL. And like you said, Frank was pretty outspoken about that towards the latter part of his life there. So kudos to him for being willing to talk about that and being willing to do that even back as far as he did. And, you know, we had Teresa Walker on earlier. If you missed that interview, you could check it out on Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify. But she kind of detailed, you know, what it was like the last few years of his career and some conversations that she had with Wycheck, you know, dating back to some stories that she did for the Associated Press where he openly talked about, you know, CTE and being aware of the challenges that were in front of him that way. So Frank, in some ways, kind of a little bit before his time, Joe, in terms of speaking out of the dangers of CTE and that discussion in the NFL?
No, no question about it. And obviously, you know, a personal experience for him, but he thought of the greater good, you know. He thought of the greater good in other people. And I think that needs to be commended. And look, I mean, what it comes down to it, as he referenced, which Teresa talked about, there are people who are susceptible or more susceptible than others, right? More vulnerable than others. And that's where we aren't there yet with being able to figure that out and being able to basically tell someone if they should play football or not. I mean, that's because some people go through this and they seem to be fine. They obviously don't have the drastic issues that others do. And that's what we've got to figure out.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the life and legacy of Frank Wycheck. Look ahead to the Titans and Dolphins coming up tonight on Monday Night Football as well. Looking forward to that conversation with Corey coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.